A man bought a hot dog stand. Every morning he would get up early, he would gather his supplies, he would go down to a good street corner and he would stand and sell hot dogs all day. He made a little bit of money from it. And as he made that little bit of money, he decided rather than lining his own pockets, he would keep putting the money back into the business. So with that little bit of money, he went out and he bought fresher hot dog buns. He bought better hot dogs, those big all beef hot dogs. He started to put a little money into advertising to let people know which street corners he was going to be standing on. Eventually, he made enough money that he bought a second hot dog cart, and he hired somebody to take that to another corner. And then a third cart, and he hired somebody to take that to another corner. The more money he made, the more he put it back in to the business, until eventually he was the number one hot dog seller in the city. After many years feeling very accomplished, he decided it was time to retire, and he handed the business off to his son. The son liked the hot dog business because it made good money. It had good profit margins. And he lined his pockets with those profits. More and more, instead of putting the money back into the business, he put the money into his own bank account. Eventually, he wanted to look for ways that he could save money in the business so he could make more money for himself. So he thought, you know, we don't really need advertising. Our customers know where we are. We have many loyal customers who come to us, who buy our hot dogs. They don't need to see an ad in the paper. So he stopped advertising. The business slowed down a little bit. His profits weren't as big. Uh-oh, he thought. We need to cut more of our costs. We need to save money wherever we can. So he went out and thought, you know, we don't need those bakery fresh buns that we pick up every morning. We can get the day-old buns. They're half as expensive. And we don't need those big, plump, all-beef hot dogs. We're going to get the ones made out of chicken lips and pig feet. Nobody will know the difference. It's a hot dog, for crying out loud. As he continued to keep the money for himself, the business kept going down. Eventually, he had to sell that third cart and lay that worker off. And then he had to sell his second cart, and he had to lay that worker off. But no matter what he did, the profits kept going down and down and down. Business dried up. The customers left. And in the end, he had to close the business. He had been able to put money in his own pocket, but the business was broke and dead. His father's legacy was lost because the young man was more worried about hoarding what he believed was his and was less concerned with putting it back into the business. 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16 is a scripture we have visited before, the widow at Zarephath. Just prior to this scripture, Elijah finds himself in a valley during a long drought that has affected the land. They're in Phoenicia. And the people are struggling, they're starving, there's not enough food, there's not enough water. Elijah is sent to this land and God sends him into the valley where there's a small stream that still runs through the valley. He's able to lay there by the stream and drink from it. And God sends crows every day to bring him meat so he can eat. And then one day God says, Elijah, I need you to go into the city. I need you to go into Zarephath. Elijah's probably not too crazy about that. Everybody's struggling during the drought, but he's kind of got a nice little spot. He's got the stream with water. He's got the birds bringing him meat. But God says, I don't need you here, I need you in the city. And Elijah says, well, how will I survive there? And God says, don't worry about it. When you get there, you'll see a widow. Ask her to feed you. So Elijah goes into the city. He's going to take a message to Zarephath. The message is that God is in charge. The people in Zarephath, the people in Phoenicia, they worship Baal, a different god. And Elijah has been sent to show them that there is only one God. And so he goes into Zarephath to do this, and he sees the widow. She's picking up sticks. And he goes to her and he says, "Bring me some water, something to drink. I'm parched. And also, make me a little cake, something good to eat." The widow looks at Elijah with what I can only guess is incredulity. She looks at him and says, "I don't have anything extra for you. I am gathering up these sticks so I can go home and make a fire. And on that fire, I'm going to take the last little bit of meal I have and the last drops of oil, and I'm going to make a little cake with it, one for me and one for my son, that we may eat of it and then die." That's how little she has. She is literally down to the last thing in her pantry, a handful of meal and a few drops of oil. You know, I often complain when I'm at home. I'll stand in my kitchen when I have a kitchen. I stand in my kitchen and I go, "There's nothing to eat in this house." Have you ever said that? "There's nothing to eat in here." I'm going to bet you that when you say that statement, it's as false as when I say that statement. There is always something to eat in my kitchen. What the statement should be is, "There's nothing I want to eat in here." But there's always food. Right now, my kitchen is torn up. We're remodeling our kitchen. And literally, all my food is now in my dining room. And I can tell you that I have food in my house. I can't cook that food, but I have food in my house. But the widow was beyond that. When she opened her cupboard, it was bare. When she opened her cabinets, there was nothing but dust. The only thing in her house, in her life, was a little bit of meal and a few drops of oil. It's not like she had other stuff that she just didn't feel like eating. They were down to the last bit. And she's out gathering sticks. Imagine how hard this must be. She's gathering sticks to build a fire, to eat the last bit of food they have, and then surely, surely death will come to claim them. And there's this guy that she doesn't know, this stranger. He calls to her and he says, "Hey, that last bit of food you have, give it to me. That takes faith. Give what you have, not out of your abundance. Give me everything you have left. And trust that God will provide." That's what Elijah tells her. Trust that God is going to provide. As long as you're doing what I ask, God won't let the meal run out. God won't let the oil run out. As long as you are answering the call of God, you will have food. Not just for me, not just for you and your son, for your whole household. But first, you have to give me the last of what you have. It's a step of faith that the widow is asked to take. To give literally everything. Just like the widow that Jesus sees going up to the treasury, and she puts in 2 pennies, and that's the giver that Jesus notices. There have been other important, wealthy, prominent, powerful people who have walked up to the treasury that day, who have put large amounts of money in the plate, and they, Jesus doesn't notice. As a matter of fact, he gives an admonition before they sit down to watch. Be aware, some people are just doing this for show. But it's the widow who comes up and drops in the 2 small coins, who literally gives everything she has, who takes that step of faith. God has asked me to be generous. this is what I have, so this is what I'll put in the treasury. Elijah brings this message that God is in charge. It will rain when God wants it to rain. There will be more food when God wants there to be more food. God has a plan for this, and our response is to react faithfully, to give that last bit to God, knowing that God will not let the jar of meal run out. How many times has God called us to ministry, to mission, to God's purpose? And when our lives are full of abundance or full of extra, it's easy to respond. If I have $20 and you ask me for five, sure, $5 is nothing. But when the call comes to us and we're down to our last bit, how do we respond to God's call? How do we respond to God's mission? How many times have we held back on doing what God has called us to do because we were afraid that if I give that, I will have nothing. It'll be the end for me. I'll be done. God calls us and says, I need you. I need you to do this. I need you to give this. I need you to be this. And we say, oh, Lord, I'd love to help. But you know, I'm down to my last $2 and payday is a long ways away. God calls and says, I need you to do this. And we say, oh, not today's not a good day, Lord. I'm too poor today. I'm too old today. I'm too tired today. I'm too sick today. I'm too what? To do your will. And all we want to do is crawl away and die. God calls on us to give all that we are, all that we have to God. To put our last 2 cents in the coffer. To cook that last bit of meal for the stranger. And we can't imagine the risk. We can't imagine how we are going to get ourselves out of it if we do that. And that's the problem. We're afraid if we give everything away that it's going to be all on me then to find more meal, to find more oil, to find 2 more cents. But that's not what God's call is. God says, give it to me and it won't run out. Give it to me and there will be more. Give to me out of your poverty and I will respond out of my abundance. We aren't going to save ourselves. That's the message Elijah was taking. God is in this. God wants to be the one who saves us. We are called by God to boldly go forth with all we have, being used for God's mission, for God's ministry, for God's purpose. But even as a church, even as a gathering of faithful, we struggle with that. We sit down and look at our bank account and we say, Lord, we're down to our last 2 cents. And God says, excellent, put it into the coffer. We say, I don't think we can, Lord. The electric bill's coming due this month. We gotta pay that bill. We got to pay that. We got to hold on to it. That's our response. When we get down to little, we begin to grab onto it even tighter. We begin to hold it closer as if somehow the pressure of us squeezing it to us will make it multiply. We resist God's call because we don't understand how we will make it work. Church after church after church in our country is struggling and hurting and dying today with empty coffers and empty pews, gripping our money ever tighter. Perhaps some of that is because we have become the widow we see that we've just got a little meal left in the jar, just a couple drops of oil. And Lord, you know, we would give it to you, but we're just gonna make one last little cake and then die. Because we're afraid. We're afraid that the God of creation, the God of abundance, the God of eternity and blessings is going to take our last two dimes and then throw us out on the street penniless. The Lord, the God of Israel, has said, I need you to do. And if you do, the flour and the oil will not run out while you're faithful and true to my word. So what will we do in response? Will we grip our resources, our money, our savings, our investments, our portfolio ever tighter? Lord, I can't spend these on you right now because they're all the flour and oil that we have. Or do we step forward in faith like the widow who puts her last two coins in the offering plate, not knowing where the next two coins will come from? Do we respond like the widow who makes Elijah, this stranger she doesn't know, a small cake so that he can eat, trusting that he said God would provide? Do we trust that the God who has called us to mission will not leave us alone and broken, but will provide what we need while we do what we are called to do? We had a group here at the church yesterday who came to do their Thanksgiving dinner. They're called In Place. They're an organization that works with adults that have developmental disabilities. They come every year. They've come since before I came here. I asked Joyce Luke about them this morning. She goes, they were coming before she can remember. This year they called and they said, we'd like to do our Thanksgiving dinner. And we talked about what Saturdays were available and signed them up for yesterday so they could come in. We don't charge them to come in and do their Thanksgiving dinner here. In the last week or so, I had a conversation with somebody who was bothered by that. Why don't we charge them something? Why don't we charge rent to these people? They're coming and using our space. They're turning on the lights. The heat has to be on. Why don't we charge them money? It's a conversation I have far too often. Because the regional office is here and uses God's house. Because the Boy Scouts are here and use God's house. Because the Christmas Bureau is here and uses God's house. Because the bus company is here and uses God's house. And we don't charge rent. We say, this is God's house, not ours, and we're going to open it up, and if you need a place to meet, you can meet here. And that's hard, because I'll tell you, I've looked at our bank accounts, and we got a little bit of meal, and we got a little bit of oil. And God says, good, I want you to make some cake and give it to the bus company. And I go, oh, okay. I want you to make a little cake, give it to the Christmas Bureau. Okay. It's a hard thing to do. It is. It's a hard thing to do, but it's what we're called to do faithfully. To take this amazing resource that we have and open it up to our community and say, you can come here. And when we do, Friday there were 300 bus drivers that came in. They come in all throughout the day to do meetings. Safety meetings. They have to take monthly safety meetings that they're required by the state to have. So they come in, they do them all day long, in and out. One of the bus drivers came in and she saw on our bulletin board the information about the cornucopia. And she saw that we were feeding families from Crestview and Marion Park Elementary. Those kids are on her bus. And she stopped and she got Rick and she gave him $40, and she said, can I put this towards that? When we answer the call that God has given us, when we quit worrying about the fact that we've just got a little meal and we've just got a couple drops of oil, and we say, Lord, I'll give this cake to the bus company, God says the meal and the oil are not going to run out. What is God calling you to today that you're resisting? Because it's scary. Because it's risky. Because you don't understand how you'll pull yourself out of it. God is calling you to be faithful, to be fearless, to be formed in that image of God. And yes, it's going to be scary, and yes, it's going to be risky. It's supposed to be. The admonition from Jesus was to pick up your cross and follow me. That was never going to be an easy road. We have taken over the hot dog stand. Will we put back into it? Will we continue to build it up and push it forward? Or will we hoard the profits for ourselves because we're afraid of what bills might come due tomorrow? Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for you and your son. For the Lord says, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rains on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, and the jar of meal was not emptied, and the jug of oil did not fail, according to the word